This morning, if I could sum up my message with one single word, it would be this one word, the word treasure. Whenever you hear that word treasure, what immediately comes to mind? Maybe you think of the stories that you heard from the age when you were just a little guy or a little gal. You think about buried treasure, right? You think about a ship on the sea and it gets sunk and there's sunken treasure. You think about hidden treasure. And as you think about those stories that were told to you perhaps long ago, the treasure that is involved in that story, you have caskets of gold and silver and rubies. You have coffers full of shiny coins. Perhaps in other stories, you have treasure that's equated with vaults that are filled with stacks of cash and safes that are filled with precious artifacts. You have museums that are full of all different types of ancient antiquities. Perhaps that's what comes to mind immediately when you hear that word treasure. Yet we today realize there's a whole lot more to true treasure than the things that I have just mentioned. There are far more precious treasures than the things that I have just listed. We realize treasures come in all different shapes and sizes. They come in many different forms. And different people have different treasures. You've heard the saying, no doubt, that one person's junk is another person's treasure, right? And that's very true, isn't it? We also realize that not all treasures are physical treasures. They aren't material in nature. So the most valuable treasures are not lifeless gold or silver or rubies. The most precious treasures in this world are not stacks of paper money or piles of objects that are hundreds of years old or thousands of years old. As we think about treasure, we realize that there are things far more valuable than these things. Now let me ask you, what is your greatest treasure? I don't necessarily expect a response, but think about this. What is your greatest treasure? What is your most valuable possession? What is it that you prize the most? And to help us in answering this question honestly, these questions, to help us to evaluate this matter, we could ask some follow-up questions. So of all the treasures that we have, and we have many treasures, of all the treasures that we have, of all the prized possessions that we have acquired, what would we miss the most if we suddenly lost it? What would we miss the most? So of all the valuables that we have, if all of them are wrenched away from us, which one would we miss the most? Which one would be the most devastating? Now, we all have treasures. We all have valued possessions. We have any number of things that are worth a lot. But which treasure is the most valuable treasure? Now, if you'd go out there and talk with people out there, what do you think would be the most common answer to that question? Now, there'd be a lot of different answers, probably. Maybe some would identify their treasure with a collection that they have. Now, most everybody collects things, right? And sometimes our collections are just little trinkets that really aren't worth a lot monetarily, but they mean a lot to you personally. Or maybe you have a collection of sports cards that are worth thousands of dollars, or maybe of it, maybe, you know, some people, probably not us, but some people have a collection of sports cars, okay, worth millions of dollars. Maybe you have a collection of other things, whatever that may be. Maybe that's what some people would say, that's my most valuable treasure. Or maybe some would say, well, it's my house or my collection of houses or real estate. Some might say, well, it's my investments. Now, some people might say that. But I imagine most of the people that you would talk with out on the roads of Nordville or Des Moines or Ankeny or Bondurant, most people, if they would come down to it and they were honest with you, they probably would say something like this: family and friends are my most valued treasure. Family and friends are more important to me than my house or my car or my savings or any number of other personal belongings that I have to my name. And that's what people may very well say. Now, you might wonder by their lifestyle if that's indeed the case, but that's what people probably will say. And one's family, one's friends definitely are valuable, aren't they? There's no doubt about that. And really, as you think about tragedies that may enter into a person's life, you think about maybe a house fire. You lose your house, you lose everything in the house, but you walk away from that house fire with yourself, your own life, and the life of your family members. And what do you oftentimes hear people say? Well, I may have lost everything, but what's most important, I still have. My family is still alive, right? Or you're in a bad car wreck, and your car, whether it's a nice car or not so nice car, it's totally demolished. But if you all walk away alive and relatively uninjured, you count yourself blessed, right? I hope that all of us agree that family and friends are a very valuable possession, very valued. And some people would say, well, family and friends are my most valued possession. They are the highest on the list. Now, how about you? What would you say about that? Are family and friends the highest on your list, or is there something even more important than family and friends? And hopefully all of us say, yes, there's something even more important as far as what I consider valuable than even family and friends. And we would say, well, God is even more important than family and friends. God is most important. Hopefully that's what we say. We love our family and friends. We don't want to diminish the importance of family and friends. But God is all the more important than even family and friends. We've trusted in Jesus as our Savior, and God is our Father, and we must prize Him most highly in our life. God is our treasure. Jesus Christ is our treasure. God the Holy Spirit is our treasure. We must place God first in our life. Everything else in our life should pale in comparison to the position that God has. There should be nothing more precious to us than the person of God. And if God is our treasure, then whatever matters to God should matter to us. Whatever God says, we should listen to if God is indeed first place in our life, if He is our most valued possession, our most valued belonging, we could say. Of course, we know that we don't own God by any means, but if God is first place in our life. So this should be our perspective in life as we consider ourselves as children of God. We've trusted in Jesus. No longer should the things of this world hold sway in our life. They shouldn't be first place in our life. There's the song, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." Is that a reality in the way that we live our lives? Where is our real home? It's not, 2917 East 29th Street, or it's not whatever your address is. Hopefully you can say, my home is in heaven. That's my real home. That's where my address is. That's where my Father's house is. Hopefully you can say that's where my most valued possessions are, my most valuable treasures. They're not stored on this earth, they're stored in heaven. Well, that's the gist of my sermon this morning. It's matters concerning these very things that Jesus taught His disciples, even as He was on a hilltop a number of years ago. And as Jesus instructed His disciples concerning matters of treasure and where they keep their treasure, these were words that the disciples needed to hear and embrace in their own lives. We today need to hear these words, and we need to live them out in our own lives as well. I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19 through 21 if you haven't already done that. Matthew chapter 6, we'll be looking at verses 19 through 21. And Jesus begins His teaching in this passage with what we read in verse 19. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." It's quite interesting that Jesus doesn't begin His teaching by giving a list of, these are objects, these are things that should be your treasure, and these are things that should not be your treasure. He doesn't give a list like that. He doesn't say, well, here are earthly treasures, and give a list of them, and say, well, these are fleeting, and these are temporary, and these should not be your treasures. And then He doesn't give a list of heavenly treasures and say, well, these are far more important, these are eternal, these are spiritual, these are heavenly in nature, and so these are more important, these are vital. Jesus doesn't list treasures. What does He speak about? He speaks about where we store our treasures. So either you store treasures up on earth, or you store treasures up in heaven. And of these two places where you store treasures, and really it's either you store treasures on earth or you store treasures in heaven, there really aren't any other options. But of those two places where you can store up treasures, there's one place that's far better than the other. For a disciple of Jesus, for the child of God, only one place is an acceptable option as far as a storing place for your treasure. Now, Jesus commonly makes, as he teaches, he oftentimes says, well, don't do this, but instead do this. And here Jesus does the same. He says, don't store up for yourselves treasures upon earth. And then we find some reasons why our treasures should not be stored on earth. If you store up your treasures on earth, there are certain dangers associated with that, certain threats, certain risks that will jeopardize your treasures. So your treasures on earth, there are certain risks. And Jesus says, don't store up your treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt. Moths and rust, they ruin and they destroy. And in addition to that, thieves break through and they steal. Those are some of the threats that face treasures stored up on earth. Let's think about Jesus' day. Of all the treasures that you could store up on earth, clothing was considered a real treasure. Now, times are quite different today than they were in Jesus' day, although there are definite similarities. But in Jesus' day, if you had clothing, especially if it was of good quality, if it was made of fine materials, this was a highly valued treasure. In fact, treasures like that could be passed on from generation to generation. We don't think of passing on clothing to your children, right? That, you know, we just don't do that. But in Jesus' day, clothing, high quality, valuable clothing, was passed on from generation to generation. But if clothing is your treasure, a treasure that you store up on earth, what are some risks associated with that? Not only do you have the danger of wear and tear because you use it, but if you store it away and you don't wear it all that much, what is the risk to that clothing? Well, there are little insects called moths that can come along and they can start eating your clothing. And all of a sudden, your nice cloak or tunic or whatever you may have stored away, all of a sudden, it's not so nice because there's holes in it, right? What good is that treasure now if you have a nice garment that's full of moth holes? If you store up treasures on earth, not only does your clothing face the danger of moths, but other treasures face dangers as well. We have this word rust that we read in the King James Version. And if you do a word study on the Greek word behind that word rust, that Greek word can be used in a number of different settings. And in certain contexts, that word can be used to refer to food, what a person eats. It can refer to the act of eating one's food. More generally, it can refer to the process of deterioration, even deterioration by consuming. So in certain contexts, this word can be used of a grasshopper eating vegetation or of worms eating vegetation. It can be used in describing the process of a tooth decaying. So we can see how the King James translators use that word rust because they have this idea of the decay or the deterioration of metal. Okay, so it fits in along in the same line of thought here. But there are other things that Jesus may have been thinking of in addition to metal, or maybe even besides metal treasures. What was valuable in Jesus' day? When we think about crops, grain, okay, you'd store up your crops, right? Well, what about, you know, if you store up your crops in a granary or in a barn, what are some dangers to that crop? Okay, well, there might be insects that come in and start munching on them. But what's even worse than insects eating up your store of grain, whether it's wheat or barley, or you have things that are crawling along on the ground, right? You have mice maybe that enter in and start eating. Maybe you have bigger animals that start eating away at your crops. And all of a sudden, where's your treasure? It gets eaten up by the insects or the vermin. Okay, there's risks to these treasures. And even if it's not thinking of grain, you know, there are other dangers, you know, with other treasures. Now, let's say you're very good at keeping your clothing free from moths. Okay, you're storing it up very well, keeping it safe. Or you're doing very well keeping your grain or your precious metals safe from the process of corruption and consuming away. What if you even keep them safe from all those dangers? What other dangers are there? Well, there's always the danger of thieves that want to take away what's yours. In Jesus' day, they didn't have houses necessarily built of 2x4s and drywall and siding and all of that. Oftentimes, they'd make their houses of mud bricks. That's an economical way. It was a good way to build houses. Kept the elements away from you, but you realize with mud bricks, if a thief wants to get into your house, what do they have to do? They just have to have a good implement, like a shovel or something like that, or we'd think of a pickaxe or something like that, but whatever implement that they would use, and they can dig through the wall of your house. They can crawl through then, and they can help themselves to your treasures. And all of a sudden, you realize, I don't have my treasures anymore. See, these are some of the dangers associated with storing up your treasures on earth. The disciples very well knew the reality of the life of the day and age in which they lived. There are so many dangers, so many threats to storing up treasures upon earth. How true are the words of Solomon as he wrote in Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5. He says, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. So Solomon says, don't set your heart upon earthly treasures, upon riches, because what happened to riches? They surely will fly away. They'll sprout wings and they'll fly away like an eagle. Solomon also says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 13 and following, there is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail, and he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And Solomon says, this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that laboreth for the wind? All his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness. We realize earthly treasures are fleeting treasures. They won't last. And even if you grab on and hold on to your treasures until your dying day, can you bring them with you to the grave and to the world beyond? And the answer is no, you can't. How well did Jesus say, do not lay up treasures for yourselves on earth? And he could have expanded his explanation, but his command here is quite straightforward and simple. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. How simple and straightforward are Jesus' words. Don't lay up treasures for yourselves on earth. Was it necessary for Jesus to teach his disciples that? Surely his disciples didn't struggle with laying up treasures in the wrong place, right? You know, they're disciples, they're followers of Jesus. Surely they don't struggle with things like materialism or storing up treasures, having their focus on earthly possessions instead of something that's far more important. But disciples are men just like we are men and women, right? So, for the disciples, they're human. And they were tempted on any number of occasions to set their focus on earthly treasure and heaping up treasure on this earth. And we realize that of the 12 disciples, there is one man among them especially that had his sights set upon earthly treasure, and his name was Judas Iscariot. His focus was not upon heavenly treasure. His focus was upon earthly treasure. And I believe it was because of his focus on earthly treasure that he did the most terrible thing ever, and that he betrayed the Son of God for just a few pieces of silver. The disciples needed to hear this message. Don't have a love for money. Do not store up treasures for yourself on earth. How about us today? Do we need to hear this teaching of Jesus? Do we need to hear from Jesus, don't store up for yourself treasure on earth? We need to hear this, don't we? Don't let your most valuable possessions be here on earth. They probably won't last. You certainly can't take them to heaven with you. Don't store up treasure here on earth. Jesus gave the negative command, but now he comes to a positive command in verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Jesus tells the disciples, don't store up treasure on earth, store up treasure in heaven. Now, heaven is the most secure place ever, right? And think of this, there are no moths in heaven. I don't think there are anyway. You know, I don't think there's any vermin. So for those of you who love mice, I'm sorry, but I don't think there are going to be any mice in heaven or rats. Or any other type of little vermin, I don't imagine. So heaven is the most secure place for all of your treasures, right? So where the disciples thinking now, as Jesus said, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Where the disciples thinking, well, how can I send this very valuable garment, this piece of cloth, my clothes, you know, how can I send that to heaven to keep it safe? Is that what they're thinking? Were they thinking, how can I get my pile of grain that's stored in my barn, how can I get that to heaven? Is that what they were thinking? Of course they weren't thinking that. They were not thinking of somehow sending their most valuable earthly treasures to heaven. They weren't thinking of that at all. It's silly to think that you can send your valuable clothing or whatever other treasure you have, your precious metals or your jewels or your grain. It's silly to think about sending that to heaven. You can't do that. If you store treasures on earth, then you have earthly treasures, right? We all know what types of earthly treasures there are. Clothes or grain or gold or jewelry or any number of other things. Those things will be liable to all sorts of corruption and thievery and various other things. Now, if you store treasures in heaven, we realize we're not thinking about earthly treasure, we're thinking of a totally different category of treasures. These are not natural, physical treasures. These are spiritual treasures. These are not fleeting treasures. These are treasures that will last for eternity. But what are these treasures? Jesus doesn't give us a list of these treasures. He just simply says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. What are these treasures? Well, we don't just have to guess about what these treasures are, because time and time again, Jesus talks about rewards for those who are certain types of people or who live in a certain way. There are heavenly rewards. If we go back earlier in our passage here in Matthew, we have in verse 11 and 12 of chapter 6 these words, of chapter 5 rather, chapter 5 of Matthew, verses 11 and 12. We have what's commonly called the Beatitudes. So blessed are these ones. And we come to the end of this teaching concerning those who are blessed of God, and Jesus makes it very personal. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. The disciples, if they faithfully follow Jesus, if they consistently kept his commands, if they followed Jesus' teaching, then what would happen as a result? There would be any number of people that were against them. They would treat them poorly. The disciples would then be reviled and persecuted and defamed for Jesus' sake. And as they were mistreated in these ways, they wouldn't have been enjoying that experience on the one hand, but they could keep in mind, we are blessed, even as we are being persecuted and reviled and treated in the worst possible way. And they could rejoice because they knew they have a great reward in heaven. They have a great reward in heaven. So how do we store up treasure in heaven? We store up treasure in heaven by being a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Now, to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ may mean misery on this earth. Not necessarily does it mean that, but it does mean people will be against us. Even though we may lose out on things here on earth, we will have great treasure in heaven. The Father will reward faithful followers of His. If the disciples suffer, the Father would reward them in heaven. So they suffer on earth, but they will be rewarded in heaven. So that's one way that the disciples can store up treasure in heaven. There are more ways that we can learn as well. Later on in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus spoke to his disciples about loving those who are their enemies, doing good to those who hated them. They should pray for those who despitefully used them and persecuted them. This was the life that Jesus had called the disciples to. So don't be like the others out there in the world. Other people only love those who love them. And Jesus asks the question, well, what reward do you have if you only love those who love you? And the answer is, you don't have any reward at all. But if you do love your enemies, if you do pray for those who wrong you, that means you have a reward. Now, will God reward you on earth? He may reward you on earth. But I believe the reward that Jesus refers to is going to be a reward that the Father gives you in heaven on a future day. So whenever you love your enemies, whenever you do good to those who hate you, whenever you pray for those who are your persecutors or those who treat you wrongly, then what are you doing? You are storing up treasure in heaven. Again, we come to Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus' teaching in Matthew chapter 6 hopefully is quite fresh in our memories. Jesus talks about doing righteous deeds, but doing so in the correct way, with the right motives. So when you give to the poor, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be wanting men's attention and men's applause. So don't stand in the synagogues and on the street corners so that others see you give to the poor. Rather, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Give to the poor in a way that is hidden from men's eyes, and then what happens? The Father will reward you. Again, I believe Jesus is talking about a heavenly reward. Now, that doesn't necessarily exclude earthly rewards. There may be earthly rewards, blessings bestowed upon us by the Father because we are giving in a way that pleases Him. But surely there will be reward in heaven for us. If we give to the poor in the right way, we will store up treasure in heaven. Again, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, as Jesus talks about prayer, He says that those who pray in secret, those who go to the innermost part of their house and close the door, these ones will be rewarded by the Father. Again, I believe that's storing up treasure in heaven. Matthew chapter 6, verse 15. Those who fast in such a way that human eyes are not gazing upon them and realizing that they are fasting, to these there is a great reward, a reward from the Father. Again, I believe it will be bestowed in heaven. Keep in mind, though, that doesn't mean necessarily that earthly rewards are excluded, but definitely I believe there will be heavenly rewards, storing up treasure in heaven. One more example here. We could give many more examples, but this helps us have a mental picture. This is how I can store up treasure in heaven. Again, it's a different mentality. It's not an earthly mentality, is it, as far as earthly treasure like we think of. It's of a far different category. Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 through 42. He that receiveth you receiveth me, Jesus says, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. So something as simple as giving a cold glass of water to a disciple of Jesus Christ, that one will receive a reward from the Father. So this gives us an idea of what it means to store up treasure in heaven. There's all different ways that we can store up treasure in heaven. Jesus continues in verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And Jesus' words are very true. Wherever you have your treasure stored, that's where your heart will be also. I think that's why there are so many rich people on this earth that, you know, for one thing, they really don't have much peace of mind, do they? Because they're continually thinking, well, what happens, you know, what if something happens to this treasure over here? What happens, you know, what if a fire destroys my multi-million dollar collection of sports cars? You know, your heart is drawn toward your sports cars and where they're stored, you know. Or you think about all of your investments, you know, of the rich man, you know. That's where that man's heart is, right? Oftentimes, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if you're focused on this earth, in this natural sphere, toward all the fleeting things that this world has to offer, that's where your heart is going to be. If your treasure is in heaven, that's where your heart's going to be focused as well. It's not going to be focused on this earth primarily, or the things of this earth. It's going to be focused on heaven and all that's in heaven, and especially on God and what He desires for us. What is your treasure? And where is your treasure? If your treasure is on earth, it's going to be found in houses and cars and collections of this or that. Even as you think about those who would say, well, family and friends are my most prized possession. Well, yeah, we want to love people. We want to love family and friends, but it can't be just family and friends for our prized possession, because, again, that's an earthly treasure, isn't it? If your treasure is here on earth, your focus will be upon this earth, and that is it. What is natural and physical and material, in essence. But if our treasure is in heaven, it's going to be found in the person of God and in His righteous ways. Our focus will be on living for God, obeying His commands. Our focus will be upward. Our hearts will be yearning for heaven. We'll be yearning for the life to come upon what is spiritual and eternal and lasting. As we think about this challenge of our Lord Jesus, we find in another place He teaches concerning this very matter, as far as treasure. Luke chapter 12 and verses 15 through 21. Let me read for you this passage of Scripture from Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And He spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." So here's an example of a man who had earthly treasure and his focus was upon the earth. Here's a treasure that in certain circumstances, the bugs, the mice, the rats, all of these things could eat up, right? That's a danger. Because his treasure was, in this case, at least one of his treasures was, all of his crops that he had brought in. And he was so well off that his barns were too small for all of his crops. So what did he come up with? Well, I'm going to build bigger barns so I can store up even more grain. But little did he realize that God would require his life of him even that very night. What good were all of his treasures then? That man's heart was directed toward this earth. It wasn't directed toward the heaven. It wasn't directed toward God. The disciples, and we today as the children of God, as followers of Jesus, we must have our eyes set on heaven. We must store up treasure in heaven. We must not have our eyes focused upon earth and earthly treasures. We need to put God first. We need to treasure God above all. We need to be loving Jesus above all. We need to seek to follow Him, do what He wants, and prize what He wants, what He prizes. Now, this is not to say that we as followers of Jesus on this earth, it doesn't mean that we shun all earthly things. It doesn't mean that we don't work, that we don't play. It doesn't mean that we don't enjoy the blessings of God on this earth, because God has given us great blessings on this earth and God wants us to enjoy them. To store up treasures in heaven does not mean that you don't go to a job and earn money and spend money and save money. It doesn't mean that. To lay up treasures in heaven doesn't mean that we don't love our family and our friends and truly treasure them. We do. But we realize that there are lasting treasures in heaven, right? We need to store up treasures in heaven. Now, even as far as loving family and friends and loving others, you know, that's a way to store up treasure in heaven, right? We realize that. But we don't have our focus on family and friends as far as the end all of life, you know, because then that would be an earthly treasure, wouldn't it? But our focus is on, yes, loving family and friends and even our enemies, and by loving, then we store up treasure in heaven. Well, we don't want to get the wrong idea here as we consider Jesus' teaching. Jesus is not saying that you can't have any money, or you can't have any savings, or you can't have any collections at all, but it is a matter of priority. We can't be saying, this is my treasure, Now, we realize this is something God has given me. We enjoy it. But our real treasure is the treasure in heaven that we're storing up. Paul instructs the rich, and I think we can learn from his instruction in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. And here, Paul addressing rich believers, and he says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate or share, laying up store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So there are certain believers in Jesus Christ that will have abundant material possessions. But as they evaluate their possessions, all that is to their name, they would honestly say, this is not my treasure on earth. Yes, God has blessed me greatly with all of these things. They would say, my real treasure is in heaven. What will they do with their earthly possessions then? They won't grasp onto them tightly with closed fists. What will they do with their earthly riches? They will have open hands, and they will freely give to help others. And that's a way that they're storing up heavenly treasures, by doing as Paul instructed. Be rich in good works. Be ready to distribute. Be willing to share. Don't trust in your riches. Trust in God. And realize that your riches are a good gift from God that you can use to bless many, many people. Don't trust in your riches. Trust in God. See, God gives us all things to enjoy, all good things to enjoy. See, good is the key word there, good things to enjoy. So if you're blessed with material wealth, it doesn't mean that you have to give away all your material wealth, but it doesn't mean that you should be willingly giving away. Paul teaches thieves, former thieves, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing that is good, that you may have to give to him that needeth. So the one who was formerly a thief, when he was a thief, what was he doing? He was storing up earthly treasure. But whenever he gets saved and no longer is a thief, Paul says, start working a job so you can provide for your own needs. And yes, probably save up a little bit. But also, as you work with your hands and earn money, then you can give to those who have need. See, that one is storing up heavenly treasure, even as they're using earthly possessions in a way that pleases God. We need to keep things in proper perspective. We must place our treasures in heaven because God is in heaven. That's where our Father's house is. So this imagery will help. So God is our Father. Jesus talks about heaven as the Father's house, right? So if that's our home, the Father's house, then it only makes sense to be storing up and keeping our valuables in heaven in the Father's house. And what are the type of things that are valuable in the Father's eyes that are truly valuable? Well, it's all the things that he tells us to do in the Word of God as far as obeying him and loving others and loving him, all of these things, and that's storing up treasure, spiritual treasure, in the Father's house. So keeping things in proper perspective. To store up treasures in heaven means that we love God, we put him first, we obey him, we follow his Son, Jesus, and nothing is going to separate us and God. So nothing like our clothes or our house or our bank account or our collections or our family or our friends, none of that is going to come between us and God. We're not going to, focus our attention on any one of these earthly things and say, this is my treasure, because all of our treasures are directed heavenward. We put God first. We live for him. We look forward to that day when he returns, when Jesus returns. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, words that apply very well to this passage. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are not seen are temporal, but the things which are not, or rather, which the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So don't focus on the temporal things here on this earth. Focus on the things that are above, that are eternal. Again, in Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. See, it's all a matter of perspective. As ones who have trusted in Jesus, our perspective should be entirely changed. We should be focusing on heavenward things, heavenly things, on things that will last for eternity, focusing on God and his will for us. But we realize far too often that even though we are believers in Christ, we live on this earth and we still have a sin nature, and far too often our eyes are attached to earthly treasure. That's where our hearts are attached, and we need to shun that. We need to forsake that. We all struggle with it. It's a natural struggle. I believe it will be a struggle that we'll have until the day that we die. At least that temptation will be there. Only by God's grace will we say, all that this earth has to offer is no treasure at all. No matter how great it is, no matter how much we are attracted to it, none of that's really treasure. My treasure is in heaven, where God is. God is my treasure. And the fact of doing what God wants me to do, that's a treasure as well. There will be heavenly rewards. So the words that Paul says agree so well with the words that Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 6. Now Jesus has yet more to say about treasure throughout the rest of this chapter. Let me read for you verses 22 through 24. Really, we could go into verse 34, really. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And next week, Lord willing, we'll focus our attention on those verses. What Jesus told the disciples in our three verses that we saw this morning, very powerful words, very convicting teaching that the disciples needed to heed, we today must heed them as well. Yes, the things of earth are very attractive, and as we think about our life here in modern-day America, there are so many things around us, so many glitzy things, things that really could draw our attention. We live in a very materialistic world, and especially in this nation, there's so much prosperity. We must not be sidetracked. Our hearts must not be bound by these things. We need to be looking toward heaven. So may we love God with all of our hearts and our souls. May we seek to do his will, to live for him faithfully. And as we do this, we'll be storing up treasure in heaven. So Lord, help us with these things. May our hearts belong to God and God alone, not to the things of this world. Heavenly Father, it is our desire today to abandon covetousness and greed. I pray that we'd not be storing up treasure on this earth, that the things of this world would not be treasure to us. Rather, we pray that our treasures would be in heaven, that we store them up there, that you yourself and your Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit would be our treasure, and the things that you have told us to do and the service of you would be treasure indeed, realizing as we live for you, you will reward us richly even in heaven. So again, we thank you for what you've taught us, even through the words of your Son Jesus. I pray that we would not store up earthly treasure, rather we'd store up heavenly treasure, where our treasure is, that is where our heart will be also. So again, we thank you for what you've taught us. I pray that you'd use these words not only today, but in the days to come. We pray this in Jesus' name.